A new study suggests frail elderly patients in nursing homes who document what medical treatment they want have fewer unwanted trips to the hospital. The study is in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society, and we'll talk about it in this edition of the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. Sandy Silva joins us. She is a program associate at the Center for Practical Bioethics and has been a longtime advocate for the aging. Sandy, before we get into the details of the study, let's examine why there's a need for frail and vulnerable patients to document their treatment wishes in the first place.
It's important, Laurel, because as medicine has advanced, as science has advanced, there are so many more treatment options that are available to all of us. And the frail elderly are at a point that in some ways is no different than anyone else. We need to honor their preferences. We need to recognize their autonomy. And they have a right to express those preferences and have them honored, just like everyone else in our community.
And we have certain situations where sometimes that it seems a little bit questionable when you have emergency medical professionals coming into a nursing home, 85-year-old woman who has really indicated a preference not to have CPR, for an example, but it's not well documented and the CPR takes place. And people around that situation may question why that happens.
And those questions need to be asked and they need to be answered. And the answer is not necessarily going to be the same for every 85-year-old. However, we have to recognize that we don't live on television. And the fact of the matter is that across the population, the effectiveness of CPR, it doesn't always turn out like it does on television. And then we have to take the next step and recognize that that can be many times not successful at best, and also it can be very, very painful and damaging to an older person who is already frail, whose bones may be more brittle. And then when we add to that the fact that they don't want it, hence the importance of documenting their preferences.
So this study in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society, it takes a look at nursing homes where residents use a form to indicate preferences for life-sustaining treatments. Were you surprised at all by the results?
Frankly, Laurel, I'm not. However, I think and I applaud the study and the fact that it has a light is being shined on this information, because there's just a lot of assumptions. And again, we just want to go back to the fact that this is about asking questions that need to be asked and they need to be answered one person at a time. And I think that these results are, to some people, maybe very, very dramatic. But across the board really are not that surprising to people that work with older adults consistently.
Now let's talk about the form that they used. And this was the acronym is PULSED. And what that stands for is Physician Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment. Talk to us about that form and why it seemed to work in this environment.
Well, it's particularly well-suited for frail elderly or anyone, actually, that is has a diagnosis and they are predictably towards the end of their life. So we're going to see that more often in older people. That doesn't mean that it also wouldn't be appropriate for a person of any age, but we particularly see it for the older folks. And there's a couple of things that are important here. Number one, it talks about very specific treatments under very specific situations, and it's also signed by a physician. So this is a step beyond appointing a durable power of attorney or indicating your wishes on a health care directive, because it is actually a physician order set.
So the treatment may involve something like a breathing machine or feeding tube, for example.
Yes, absolutely. And what is important here is we look at basically four different areas, CPR, medical interventions such as antibiotics or medically administered fluids and nutrition, but under particular circumstances. And at the heart of this, and what is so critical, is the fact that it is a physician order set, and so that means that the physician and the patient have got to sit down and decide together. And the patient then has the opportunity to take into consideration their own values and wishes as they are reflected in their medical condition, because they're talking to their physician about this.
So that's critical, that physician-patient interaction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why we see sometimes what a person may want at age 60 may be very different at age 61 if their medical conditions have changed. And they know that only when they have a good, informed conversation with their physician.
So then it's the option of whether or not you provide comfort care or if it's aggressive care, and the key point being then that it's within what the individual wants.
Absolutely. As it fits with their care plan, okay, and the fact that it will be congruent with their goals of care, and it's something that the physician and the patient decide together.
The Center for Practical Bioethics has been working on a similar program called TPOP, and that's an acronym. We always use acronyms. It's called Transportable Physician Orders for Patient Preferences. Talk to us about that program, what the status is.
The status of it right now is, Laurel, we are just completing a pilot study in Topeka, and we are looking forward to introducing the program in a very robust way, working through our hospital ethics consortium here in 2012. Now, the POLST paradigm, which was created in Oregon almost 20 years ago, is replicated in several states across the United States. Sometimes they are called POLST programs. There are other acronyms. Here in the Kansas City area, we have and at the Center for Practical Bioethics, we have named ours TPOP. So, but it's the same basic principles.
You mentioned the pilot study in Topeka. What did you find from that particular pilot study?
Well, we found, on one hand, what we expected, and that is that physicians want to have the ability to respond to patients' wishes. They want to be able to document things, and patients are very enthusiastic. So they're on a level of, is this a good idea? Yes. Emergency medical providers, physicians, social workers, nurses, chaplains are very, very enthusiastic because they recognize that it responds to a very real need and it can help them provide appropriate care to their patients. The other side of the coin, because there always is another side of the coin, is that this is new. And it requires a lot of administrative coordination. The form that we use is printed on a hot pink piece of paper so that it stands out in the patient's medical record. And we also have to recognize that so many hospitals now are using electronic medical records. So there's a lot of conversation and a lot of work that needs to be done from an administrative perspective. So this is not going to happen overnight. We're not going to go to bed on Monday night and then on Tuesday morning everyone's going to have a hot pink TPOP form in their medical record. But again, as always, it's a process and we'll continue working on it.
So there are a lot of different elements, a lot of moving parts that make it a bit more complicated to implement than simply putting a pink form on someone's refrigerator, for example.
There is. We're talking about an infrastructure here that is electronic. It's going to impact actual paper charts and records. And it also requires conversations that have been going on between patients and their physicians, and yet it takes it a little bit further because of the documentation and because of the fact that this really does create a physician order set, and that's the power of it. Okay? The energy of it comes from the conversation between the care providers and the patients, but still we've got to make it work. We've got to make it work within a relatively complicated system.
A reflection of why we need something like this, and I'll tell you a personal story. Here at the center one day, I got a call from a representative of a local hospital, and they asked if someone had tattooed on their chest, no CPR, Is that a valid expression of their wishes? And so that people go to the extent of doing that, I guess, shows that really we need to be able to address this issue. Would it be fair to say that?
Absolutely. And, Laurel, I remember hearing that story. And, of course, at the center we always have lots of discussions about issues like that and what is the ethical foundation and what is the right thing to do. And so, yes, people have very strong views. And they fall across the entire spectrum. And certainly, whether we're talking about the Pulse paradigm, our TPOP program, what is core to this is that a patient's preference be honored, whatever that is. We're not trying to say it should be this or it should be that. We want people's preferences to be honored.
It seems we're seeing a series of studies now that call into question what we've always done. I guess is a way of putting that, and that these studies show how there are major surgeries within weeks of a person's death and the impact of moving people from one care setting to another, from one nursing home to another, and so forth. Are we getting better? Are we getting closer to an understanding of the burdens and benefits of doing what we've always done, and including maybe that we should change?
I don't know if we're closer, farther. It's really kind of hard. It's hard to put a dot on the line exactly where we are at this point. There's two things, I think, that we need to take into consideration. One, of course, is the fact that we're living longer. Okay? And we all know that beginning January of 2011, every day 10,000 people in the United States are turning 65. We've never had this kind of a population demographic balance before. And that's why some of these questions, they've probably always been asked, but not by so many all at the same time. And as I mentioned before, science advances. There are options. There are treatment options. There are ways to ascertain different diagnoses that, frankly, just didn't exist 5 years ago. And so, and science is one thing, and it's going to evolve, but as a society, we have to ask ourselves new questions about this so that we can determine where our own personal values are.
Sandy Silva is a program associate at the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and TPOP, visit practicalbioethics.org. Practicalbioethics.org. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.